Shalom, Berachot. Many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamlil of Bnei Noach Torah Institute and Raka Or Audio Visual Lending Library, Jewish Path, and SevenCommands.com. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. This is a discussion about Pesach, and our Divrei Torah Limud is entitled Pesach Observances Noachites, Spiritualists May Observe. And our Divrei Torah Limud is in the loving memory of the Horvat Saikash Mishpacha that died in the Holocaust. May they rest in peace. Dear ones, as we were approaching Pesach this past year, 5769, we discussed some of the details about which Noachides may observe. Why did we do this? We understand that when an individual has studied a particular religion, maybe for a short period of time or a long period of time, and then for whatever reason recognizes that that religion has very serious issues and they leave that religion, one of the areas that many individuals come to is Judaism. And we find individuals taking on Jewish observances that are actually prohibited to them. Now, I understand we don't like to hear the word prohibited, that one is not allowed to observe these commands of HaTorah. And so we have conflicts that arise. As director of Bnei Noach Torah Institute, Seven Commands, one of the things that we constantly have to be keenly pointed with, and when I say pointed with, I mean that I must be clear in what I'm saying. Obviously, I cannot make anyone do what I ask them. I can only say, this is what HaTorah teaches, and this is what one is required to observe. And just as one has requirements to observe, one that is a B'nai Noachide has requirements not to observe. The same holds true for B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, that is not a Levi, that is not a Kohen, that is not a Kohen Gadol, has observances that they are prohibited from following. These are part of the 613 mitzvot of HaTorah. So, for the most part, almost all of us have certain mitzvot that are prohibited to us. Now, this does not mean that we are prohibited from learning about them. One has to be aware of what they may do and what they may not do. And so that's why it's good to learn HaTorah, so that we can understand what our beginning and end, what our boundaries are, and so that we can grow in the knowledge and in the correct observances that God requires of each of us. Now, earlier this year, before Pesach, I did an audio that was a brief summary of the observances that Noachides, that spiritualists may choose to follow. These are not commands of HaTorah. These are customs. And they may be taken on, and they may not be taken on, but they're customs. In this particular discussion, we have now put into writing the references that establish the observances that a Noachide or a spiritualist may keep. Now, right from the very beginning, it's necessary for me to say there are no Pesach observances that a spiritualist, that a Noachide may observe. However, if a Noachide, if a spiritualist chooses to honor the date that Pesach is observed on, that is certainly acceptable. And in our first example, we speak about Adam HaRishon, the first man, and that he spoke with Cain and Hevel and explained to them that on this date, the date that coincides with Passover many thousands of years in the future, this will be a special date, an auspicious date. This will be a date that will be looked upon very favorably by our Creator. And so Adam HaRishon was encouraging his sons, Cain and Abel, Cain and Hevel, to take upon themselves a form of observing the date, not the celebration, but the date for the Pesach observances in the future. And this is where we get the story in Bereishit Perek Dalet, chapter 4, where the Torah tells us, after a period of time, our sages say in Midrash Haggadah that Adam HaRishon was speaking to his sons about Pesach. And so we recognize the very first family in HaTorah established a custom of observing the date that coincides with Passover. Now, we know that this is a subject that has been discussed very much, and I've gone into some length in the notes that I'm not going to go into in this audio. But we know that Cain brought an inappropriate offering to Hashem, not a sacrifice, an offering. And we know that this offering was spoiled flaxseed. And we know that the Rebbeim would basically say it was garbage. Now, Christians teach that the reason Cain's offering was not accepted, was not favorable for Hashem, is because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. That is incorrect. That is a false teaching. That is a teaching of another religion. And so those of us that are B'nai Yisrael, and those of us that are B'nai Noach, those that are spiritualists, faith seekers, we must go back and erase that incorrect teaching. The offering that Hevel brought was the finest of his first fruits, the finest of his flocks, the firstlings of his flocks. And what he brought was the finest in cheese, the finest in cream, the finest in butter, the finest in wool. These were the offerings that Cain brought. There was no blood sacrifice. Now, Cain sets the example for all B'nai Noachites, all spiritualists, as to what is permissible to bring on the date that coincides with Pesach, with Passover. And we see that the Creator accepted Cain's offering, but rejected Hevel's offering. And we go into that a little more in detail in the notes. The second situation is when we go to Bereishit Yud Dalet, and there read about Og coming to Abraham to tell him that his nephew Lot was taken captive. Our sages again teach this was on Erev Pesach. And we say, how do we know this? Well, Abraham was busy making ugos, unleavened cakes, matzah. And Og laughed at Abraham's actions. And this is how Og received his name. It means cookie or matzah. Unleavened cookie. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said in the name of Bar Kappar that Og, and why was he called Og? Because he came and found Abraham sitting and engaging in the precept of unleavened cakes, yugot. It was Passover time, and the rabbis held that Abraham fulfilled all the precepts of HaTorah even before they were promulgated. So we know that Abraham kept this observance. Now I understand one could argue, well, Abraham is the father of Judaism. But one must also understand, and one can clearly argue, that at the time Abraham did this, Abraham was a Noahite. He was required to observe the seven Noahic commandments. We know that that day he trained his servants, 318, and they went out and they rescued Lot, his wife, his family, his cattle, and all the people of Sidon. And we know that that was the 15th day of the first month. Well, we know that on that day he traveled to Shalem, which would be the city of peace. And Abraham came there to meet with Shem, the son of Noach, who was also known as Melchizedek. Malchi meaning king, Tzedek meaning righteous, a king who oversees a city that is righteous. And there, our sages teach that he instructed Abraham in the laws of priesthood, that he brought him lechem, which is alluding to shewbread, and that he brought him wine, which alludes to libations. The third incident that we are acquainted with is 3 days after Avram had his Brit Milah, after he had his Brit Milah. In Bereshit Yud Chet, we see that Avraham was being visited by Hashem. Hashem teaches us to visit the sick. And so on the day that Avraham was in the greatest pain, Hashem came to visit him. We know that while Hashem was visiting him, and we know this was a spiritual vision, a dream, that Abraham looked up and he saw three men, which the Torah identifies as Malachim, as angels. And he hurries out of his tent to meet these men, and he wants to invite them to come and to relax and to have something to eat. And so they agree. And we see that Abraham hurries. And he goes, the Torah tells us in Bereshit 18:6. So Abraham hastened to the tent, to Sarah, and said, "Hurry, take 3 seah of fine flour, knead, and make cakes." We know that this hurrying had to do with the fact that from the time water touches fine flour, you have 18 minutes to knead and to separate and to roll out and to perforate and to bake the matzah. Cannot go beyond 18 minutes from the time water and flour touch each other. And so that was what Abraham was instructing Sarah to do. And in the notes we have indicated unot matzot, which is also found in Shemot 12:39, which lets us see that the same product that Abraham was instructing Sarah to make is what Bnei Yisrael made when they were leaving Mitzrayim. We know that the fourth example is when the Malachim, when the angels came to Sidon, and Lot invited them to his home, and there he baked matzot for them. This again was the date that would later coincide with Pesach. So, dear ones, what we're saying is that while B'nai Noachites, while spirituals, while faith seekers, are not permitted to observe Pesach in any way, there is an observance that they may follow which coincides with the date of Pesach. Noachites and spiritualists may bring the finest of grain, baked matzah, the finest cream, the finest cheese, the finest butter, and the finest kosher wine for Pesach, and the finest wool, woven wool, as offerings. Noahides may bake unleavened bread if taught properly how to do so. Noahides and spiritualists may rid their dwellings of leavened products and may not consume leavened products for these 7 days. These observances may be done as a remembrance of the date which coincides with Pesach, but they may not be done as an observance of Pesach. Noahides may not count the month of Pesach as the beginning of months. All of Sefer Bereishit, and even up to the Yud Bet Perek of Shemot, were all under Chadashim, B'nai Noach. But when we start with chapter 12, and we'll begin with Pasuk Bet, verse 2, where B'nai Yisrael is told by the Creator of the universe, through Moshe Rabbeinu, that this will be the beginning of months for you, that this will be the first month for you. We have the establishment of a second Chadashim. So the Chadashim from creation was a B'nai Noach Chadashim, a B'nai Noach calendar. And then beginning in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 12, we have the establishment of a B'nai Yisrael Chadashim, a Chadashim by which all dates relating to B'nai Yisrael are calculated from. So Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., are all calculated from the month that is the beginning of months for B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Noachides are not to follow the Chadashim. They are to follow the Chadashim that was given in the beginning of the world, the creation of the world. B'nai Noachides, spiritualists, are not to take a lamb or a goat on the 10th of the first month of B'nai Yisrael's Chadashim. They're not to sacrifice that goat or that lamb in the late part of the evening on the 14th of the first month. And they're not, of course, to place the blood from that lamb on their doorposts. They're not permitted to roast that lamb or goat over a fire. And they're not to participate in a Passover Seder meal in remembrance of the deliverance of B'nai Yisrael from Pesach. Spiritualists and Noahides are not permitted to celebrate the seventh day of Pesach. So while it sounds like all these things spiritualists cannot do, yet there are many beautiful observances that spiritualists can observe that coincide with the day Pesach begins. Now, dear ones, if one takes on the observance of the customs, not the commands, of the customs in honor of the date of Pesach's beginning three times, they may not rescind these observances. They're permanent. It's an oath to the Creator of the universe, and you must continue to observe them if you take on these customs. We want to thank you for joining with us. And, you know, if you have questions, you can go to this Seven Commands Noahide blog and write your questions in the blog. And then we can answer these questions for everyone to see and benefit from. So we invite your questions, and God willing, we'll be able to answer those in the Noahide blog. Now, Hashem bless each of us with the observances we may keep, and help us to understand the observances of Torah that we may or may not keep. Many blessings, health, prosperity, kindness, and peace. Shalom, shalom.